May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And tonight we're speaking about fire as one of the elements of our that form us into Christians. And I can tell you that one of the earliest memories I have is of my grandfather. My grandfather, he was the one who emigrated here from England. He settled in New York, and he was a fireman, or a volunteer fireman, a tradition which my brother now has continued. And one of my earliest memories is watching my grandfather in parades, and he's the one who actually, on the fire truck, on the parades, he's the one who held the leash of the Dalmatian. And I remember one time I was young, he allowed me to pet that dog. It's like a very proud moment. And my older brother, he also is a fireman. And he's been a fireman for about 35 years. And I can remember one day, you know, he and I were driving with his friend named Jimmy, who also was a fireman. You know, firemen's congregate together. We were driving one day, and it's back on Long Island, and which is very flat, and I remember in the distance seeing black smoke rising. Obviously, what it was a huge fire going on in the distance. And we were driving towards it, and it became thicker and thicker as we came closer to it. And as we drove up to it, we actually came to the field where the fire was, the brush where it was. And what I saw there was a fire engine with some firemen standing by there. They're from a different department, but they were standing there, and that's what they were doing. They were standing there, talking, watching the fire. I have expected them to have marshmallows out. And I was very, very puzzled. I was very confused. I turned to my brother. I said, "Why aren't they fighting the fire? Why are they standing there watching it?" And he said something. He said, "Well, they're the ones who lit it." But that's odd. Why are these firemen lighting fires? I thought they were supposed to put them out. And he said, "Well, the town, you know, they wanted to clear out this brush. And so the fire department are the ones who, they light a fire to clean it out, to clean this part of the woods, this brush. Because what the fire does is, you know, it destroys all the dead and decay, to allow saplings to take root and to grow in the ground." And I thought, that is fascinating. Very fascinating. And so the fire department were there to watch and to make sure that the fire didn't spread to anyone's property, you know, which is a hazard. And very early on, we can see that fire has many different uses. That at once it is destructive, it's something to fear, it's something that can destroy us and our property and our lives. But on the other hand, it's something that also builds up. In the first reading this evening from Malachi, we get a glimpse of how God speaks. The reading from the prophet Malachi, which speaks about John the Baptist, the prophet who is to come. It speaks about God's fire being a refining fire. It's one that purifies. It's one that burns away the impurities in the human soul, and it makes us worthy to praise God. Very specifically, it says that it purifies the sons of Levi, the priests. And that applies to us Christians, because we too are those priests. During this time of Lent, we are examining ourselves. We are in a period of mourning, a period of penitence, of repentance, when we examine ourselves. And we ask ourselves, we may ask, what does it mean that God's fire purifies us and he's like a refiner's fire? What does that mean for us today? It says in Jeremiah 23, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" That prophecy came to Jeremiah during a time when there were many false prophets, and God is promising to, making a promise to Jeremiah that his word is going to purify Israel and to confront these false prophets. But it also tells us that the fire that God speaks about is his very word. His word is like that fire. We divide God's word. We say that there are two things that God's word does for us. The law condemns us. The law is the one who accuses us of sin. And during this time of Lent, when we're penitent, we examine ourselves by God's Ten Commandments, by God's law. And one of the ways that we speak about the Word is that it's like a mirror that we are forced to look into. Personally, myself, I hate mirrors. I hate looking at myself. Every mirror in my apartment is covered up in some way. Or if I have to walk into that room, I make sure I look away. Same thing when I'm out, I make sure I do not see myself because I hate the way that I look. And that's what mirrors do, because they're very honest in showing you who you are. And God's law is like that mirror showing us honestly how we have not lived up to God's expectations for us. That yes, when we compare ourselves to the law, yes, we have not kept the Ten Commandments perfectly by any means. We have not always trusted in God above all things. We have not always not coveted other people. They're in their possessions. We have not always obeyed authorities perfectly. And even the big sins, thou shalt not murder. None of us have murdered somebody, I hope. But yet, we have murdered people in our hearts by not always providing for them in their need. And when we examine ourselves in this law, we become very uncomfortable. Yikes. But that is what we are forced to do. But this examining, it's like a fire that refines, God's word says. It points out to us our imperfections, our sin, and our impurities, so that God can burn them away. God can deal with that sin. The glory of the gospel message of what Christ did for us is that, yes, we look at our imperfections and impurities. We don't deal with it. God does. Christ has dealt with it. He has atoned for our sin. He has paid back to what we owe to God. Just as we have that law that condemns us, we have the good news, the gospel. And we see that gospel in the second reading for this evening. And it may not seem like gospel when you think about it. Of course, we see Peter denying Christ, as Christ predicted. We see Peter, as the scriptures say, disowning Christ by the fire. But what was fascinating about that reading is that Peter was recognized as a Christian by that fire. He could not hide his identity. He could not hide who he was, his baptism, his discipleship of Christ. And those people, that woman, the servant girl, and all the people there recognized who he was. Even when he tried to conceal it, he could not deny or conceal who he is. A baptized child of God. A child who has the fire of a God within him in his baptism. And it's the same for us today. We too have that light. That light of the gospel that shines in our works, that shines in our words to this world, and that people cannot deny who we are to this world. And even though we are less than perfect, Peter was less than perfect. He denied Christ. And yet, shortly afterwards, he proclaimed the greatest sermon on Pentecost that was ever heard. And even as he progressed, he sinned even more, getting into a fight with Paul. But yet he was afforded the greatest witness of all when he too was crucified 30 years later. A witness to a church that still stands. So during this season of Lent, we appreciate, we give thanks for the fire of God's Word. The fire that both condemns us as sinners, but also confirms us as his child. And a fire that purifies us through the constant repetition of repentance and receiving his forgiveness, so that we cannot hide our witness to God. We cannot deny our witness and our mission that God has called us to do. So may God's peace, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.